Good morning and welcome to Parma Christian Church. We are glad you're here worshiping with us virtually today. God is in this virtual place and calls us to worship together in spirit and in truth. So let us begin our worship together today in prayer. Let us pray. Creator of all worlds, we lift up our souls to you. All the earth is yours. All who dwell here are your children. We seek once more to experience your truth, to receive your blessing, to ascend above the limitations we have known. You are strong and mighty beyond our imagining. We aspire to become more than we have believed ourselves to be, individually and together. We pray this through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, welcome to our virtual worship here at Parma Christian Church. We are glad to have you worshiping with us this morning, and we will continue to worship here live on Facebook each Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. There are two items I'd like to remind you of as we begin our worship together. One is that we will celebrate Holy Communion with each other. So I invite you to bring to your table, which is an extension of our table, a piece of bread, a cracker, a goldfish, or a cup and a cup of something to drink so that you can celebrate communion with us. And second, I'd like to remind you of offering. Our ministries here rely on your generosity, and we ask that you either give to us through our Givelify button on our website, our donation tool there, that you can give securely to us through that method, or you can mail in your check to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. And if you are a regular attender who often gives through using an envelope, we ask that you come by the church office and pick up that envelope this week. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 3, followed by verses 11 through 32. This is the story that many of us know as the prodigal son. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. He said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to his father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then the son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a servant for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So have you been feeling lost recently? It's been kind of a theme here for me lately. Somehow there's something missing. Something is not quite right. The world is still spinning on its axis. Time is still marching on. But for me, a sense of loss, a sense of hopelessness is all around us. There's a sense of darkness where I knew there was once light, of clouds and confusion where the sky was once clear and blue. Perhaps some of these words are true for you as well. I think most of us are experiencing similar feelings. It's really hard to put them in words. The world has changed. Our perspectives on the world has changed. Our lives have changed. And maybe even our understandings of God has changed during this pandemic. All these changes that have come due to COVID-19 have touched us, each of our lives, in similar yet sometimes very different ways. But all of us are still experiencing, still coping, and discovering how the world has changed for us since we first felt the impact of this virus on our lives. So here we are on Sunday morning, worshiping and praying with one another virtually, hoping to renew ourselves for another week, hoping to discover something new that will help us feel a little less lost, hoping to understand this new world around us a little bit better. Now, today's text is a familiar story to most of us. We've heard this one time and time again. We know the story well. One son wants his inheritance early, before his father even dies. And he goes out and he takes this money and he squanders it. In the midst of his poverty, he realizes that even his father's servants are eating better than he is. So he decides to go home. He decides to go home and even apologize, to ask for forgiveness, and to see if he can become a servant for his dad, get a job, work for his dad. He doesn't plan to regain his place in his father's household as a son. But his father instead welcomes him unconditionally and rejoices in his return. But the older brother is angry. He's angry that his dad has welcomed his younger brother back with open arms. He feels cheated. He never left. He never went anywhere. He always stayed at home and worked for his father. But does he get a party? No. So he's mad. He's angry. And I've heard the story told in various ways, different times in my life. I've heard it from the first person point of view from each of the characters. Once in my childhood, our youth group even acted out this story as it was told from the perspective of the fatted calf. And that was actually a really funny skit that we did for a youth Sunday. But this time, Reading it now is a little bit different. Often when people hear or read this parable, they are stuck identifying with one of the characters, and they see themselves as a part of the story through that character's eyes. And perhaps that's true for you. Perhaps today you're seeing it through the eyes of the father, or one of the sons, or even the calf. I don't know. But today that's different for me. I'm not identifying myself as either the father or one of the sons. Instead, I feel myself drawn to the feelings in this story. The feeling of being lost. The younger son feels lost when he's away from his family, and the older brother feels lost when his brother comes home, gets the big party, and isn't even punished. Sometimes the being lost in the story is equated with people finding Christ, coming to a new revelation of who God is in their lives. And while that's a legitimate understanding of finding ourselves in the story, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to that feeling you get when you're driving to a destination and you know the way, but somehow you are caught up in the music you were listening to and you missed that turn, and now there's road constructions and you have to take a detour. You know where you're going, but you're still lost on the way. You're confused. Your sense of direction is all askew and you're not sure which way to go. And this really worked well in the days before we had GPS and some voice speaking to us and telling us how to get around. But if you don't have that mechanism and you don't have someone sitting in the passenger seat navigating you with a map, you're lost. You know where you're going, but you don't know how to get there. Perhaps this example will make it a little more clear. The first summer that I worked as summer camp staff at Christ Mount in North Carolina, which is a Disciples of Christ camp and conference center in the mountains, two of my fellow staffers and I set out on a hike just before sunset. We kind of took it without planning for it. It just was one of those things that was like, let's go do this. And so we did. We went out to go see what's called foxfire. And if you don't know what foxfire is, I'll describe it to you. It's this little fungi, the mushroom, that grows on rotting wood in kind of damp, moist places. We had a lot of it that grew around the creek banks that ran through the campsite. And it's really neat because it actually glows in the dark. That's the really cool part of it. And it, when you get to see it, it kind of reminds me of looking down at a little Smurfs village in the mountains. So the three of us decided we were up near where the trail began, and we're like, oh, let's go, let's just go. So we went. And we started hiking up that trail, and it was to a destination we knew. We knew we could walk a little ways into the trail, and there would be a creek, and this bridge, and we could look out and see all of the foxfire along the creek bank. We were familiar with it. And as we began hiking, the sun began to set, which is what we needed. We needed it to be dark so we could see the glowing foxfire. But what we soon realized was that no one had a flashlight. And this was in the days before cell phones were everywhere, and no one had a cell phone. No one had a little iPhone with a flashlight on it. Not an option. And as we kept hiking into the woods and it got darker, we thought for a minute or two about turning back and going home. But we decided to keep hiking because, you see, we knew that trail. We hiked it all the time. We knew it by heart. We knew where every twist and turn was. Yet the further we hiked, the darker it got. You see, the trees, which filtered the light during the day and kept the trail cool, hid all the light from the sky at night, and it was pitch black. We couldn't see the stars. We couldn't see the moon. There was nothing. So we could have turned around, but we didn't. Instead, we realized that the little indigo light on my wristwatch, which was all the light we had, gave off just enough light to keep us going on the path. Now, we had to hold hands and go really slow, and I had to practically lean down onto the ground so that we could see the path in front of us. But it was worth it because we made it to our destination. We got to the bridge where the foxfire grew, and it was a really awesome thing to see. And we stood there for a while, and then we had to turn around and hike our way back out. And night vision was not a help for us at this point because there still was no light coming in from anywhere. We had to follow that trail all the way back down the mountain, lit only by my wristwatch. And we were slightly afraid we were going to become a part of the camp ghost story. But no, we made it back safely. At the beginning of our adventure, remember, we knew where we were going. It wasn't until we discovered that no one had a flashlight that we felt lost. We knew the way, but nightfall hid the path from our eyes. We knew where we were. We knew where we were going. But we needed the light to get there. Perhaps this is kind of why we all feel lost right now. We know what's going on in the world, and we continue to follow our daily routines as closely as we can despite this pandemic. Our lives have not stopped, but yet we are still feeling lost and confused because we know where we are and we know where we want to go. We want to keep living our lives, but we also realize that things are going to be changing around us and we are confused. We are experiencing a loss of hope, a loss of safety, a loss of comfort in our daily routines, and even a loss of what is called our future story, because the plans and the dreams that we have made have to change constantly because of what is happening around us. And what we need is something that can help us climb this mountain of confusion and show us the way. One of the points of this parable is that the father is always there waiting for his sons, both of them. They are both lost, one in another country and the other in his own backyard. But the father is still there, waiting with open arms for each of them. He loves them beyond all amounts of reason. He doesn't even wait for the younger son to repent. Instead, he greets him with open arms, showers him with the blessings, and throws a huge party for him. The father offers love, mercy, and grace to his lost sons, just as God offers us love, mercy, and grace to us in our lives. Right now, we are still reeling from a pandemic that has changed our lives profoundly. We hear mixed messages from our local, state, and national leaders, and we are confused, we are angry, and we are scared of what the future holds. We are lost. But there is hope. There is hope even as we feel lost, because we know that it is actually okay for us to feel lost. It is okay for us to be scared, and it is even okay for us to be angry. The feelings are legitimate. It is what we do with those feelings that is the concern. We can lash out in anger at those around us, or we can respond with compassion, knowing that all of us are feeling the same sense of loss these days. When my friends and I discovered our predicament on that mountain trail, we panicked for a little bit, but then we thought about our situation. We looked at what we had with us, decided on a course of action, and then we followed through. We still felt a little scared walking that trail at night. But with that little bit of light to guide us, we also had a new sense of hope. The question for us today is, where do we get our hope from when we are lost? What are we relying on to get us through? Our hope comes from the Lord, who is waiting with open arms to greet us when we come home. Sometimes that hope is as big and bright as the sun. Other times it is only the little small glow of light that is given off by an Indiglo wristwatch. Yet no matter the size of the light, the darkness of this world cannot put it out. No matter how lost we feel, no matter how dark the path, the light of hope and the love of God will always be there, waiting for us with open arms. Amen.